Well, good morning to each one. It's Friday already. Some senses, as you go through a week like this, there's so much coming in. Sometimes it feels a little slow, but to me, usually Friday comes pretty fast. It's already here. How many of you have used our application chart here, A, B, and C? How many of you have used that a little bit? A few of you? Not lots. I'd encourage you to use that. That concept, and make your mind, and we'll talk about that as we go along. I'll actually mention some of that. Make your mind think down those steps. Well, let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 13 again. Verse 18. This morning, the title is Kingdom Conscious Christians Strive to Constantly Grow. Kingdom Conscious Christians Strive to Constantly Grow. Matthew chapter 13, I'm going to pull out a few places where I think we see the aspect of growing. I said verse 18, you know what verse 18 says. This is the parable of the sower. But let's jump down to verse 21 and jump in the middle of the parable. Seeds are going out on all different soils, and the soils is what? What's the soil? That's our heart. So we're jumping here in the middle of the parable, verse 21. Yet hath he not root in himself, I'm sorry, verse 20, but he that receives seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word and anon with joy receiveth it. With joy. Yet hath he not rooted himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth, because of the word, by and by he is offended. This person started to grow, and tribulation came. And if you remember in Peter and different places, tribulation worketh good in us. It worketh patience and patience, and it continues on. Tribulation can work good and help us to grow. Here, this person, and Jesus' illustration, is not using tribulation in a beneficial way. Instead, they're losing out, and it's killing them. This is a side note, in one sense, from what we're looking at today, because I feel like we just pulled out a few small little things from these parables. But here's another one. Most things in life, as we look at growing, most things in life can either be made fertilizer or a killer. What's opposite of fertilizer? Roundup. Some sort of killer. Weed killer. Wheat killer. Most things in our life, depending on how we face them, can either be fertilizer for us or a killer to us. And this is a big key to growth as we ponder how to grow and how to constantly grow. We must take everything that comes at us in our life in one or the other way. It'll either hurt and hinder, or it'll help and spur us on. So, we may touch on that just a little bit more. But here we have, we were looking at this soil, and it is it's stony soil, and it doesn't grow well. But we go on. Verse 22 is another soil. We looked at more of that yesterday. He that receives seed among thorns, in verse 22, is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word, and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some 100, some 60, and some 30. I'm so thankful that God is patient with me and with you. I'm so thankful. If I bring forth tenfold, I'm thankful for God's mercy. But I believe God wants us to strive to continually and constantly grow. The kingdom of heaven is like unto this. And he goes and he lists out these parables. Things that grow. Things that bear fruit. Verse 31. Move on down to the mustard seed. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed. Just a little itty bitty teeny seed. Have you seen those pens that you, a pen you write with on the end, the very top of it, they have it kind of coated in a clear coating. And inside of that coating is what? A mustard seed. Sometimes people do that just on the little top of your, you know, right up here, the top of your pen. And then there's a little itty bitty mustard seed. That's a good reminder to us. It's small. That's what Jesus is saying. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. And it stayed the size of a mustard seed, and God was very pleased with the mustard seed. So a mustard seed on the back of our pen, it can be a good reminder, but God doesn't want it to stay there. That'd be staying a baby. Okay, maybe it's not bringing forth fruit, so maybe it's not a baby. Depends on how you want to look at it. There is life in that seed. So it depends how you want to take the allegory there. But God doesn't want us to stay a little mustard seed. The one God was happy with says, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the and lodge in the branches thereof. This little mustard seed is supposed to grow and grow and grow until the people that are around you can come and find rest through you. Right? You affect and influence those around you. Whether it's in your family, it's in the church, it's in the neighborhood, wherever God has you, we're supposed to grow and grow and grow. And then you have birds of the air being influenced and finding a place of rest. Can people find in me and in you a place of rest? Can they find strength there to help hold them up and encourage them on their way? God wants us to grow and grow and grow and grow till that can be true of our lives. Verse 33. Another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. Help us here, little ladies. If you're making a batch of bread, buns, and you want to add some leaven into it, what do we usually call it today? I'm sorry? Yeast. Thank you. And you want to add a little yeast. If you have a bowl this size, or a lump of bread this size, how much yeast is put in there? Here it is. You'll make 4 or 5 loaves of bread. 2 tablespoons. Okay? 2 tablespoons in this size. And when you put that leaven, that yeast, in there, and you let it sit for a while, it's not just one little corner of the bread that goes, it goes through it all. Right? They think that's funny. See, we don't know much about some of us. Some of you maybe do. When you put leaven in there and you mix it in, it's not just one little spot that grows a little bit. It goes until it permeates all of it. And it rises. God wants the kingdom of heaven to permeate all of us and to rise and rise until it, again, we're saturated through and through, and our life is saturated with the kingdom of heaven. Right? Every day of our lives, every hour, in everyday life, saturated. It's the kingdom of heaven I'm concerned about. That's what I'm looking for. Kingdom-conscious Christians strive to constantly grow and their lives be permeated with the kingdom of heaven. Someone asked, and maybe more than one of you asked, okay, this little application chart that you saw up here, A, being down here, B, up here, and C, how to get there. And someone asked, what's C? How do we implement more of C? And the concept I want us to look at is I would like to give us approximately 10, we'll see how it goes and how time goes, approximately 10 principles of how to grow. How do we grow? God says here, He wants us growing. Leaven, mustard seed, growing to a tree. He wants 30, 60, 100-fold coming from our lives. Lord, how do we grow? How do we, as kingdom-conscious Christians, conscious of the kingdom of God, is there any part in this that we play? And I feel like that dawned on me. It took me a couple years after God changed my heart before I began to realize some basic principles of the Christian life and growth. Somehow, my concept was, I decided to follow Jesus. I'm a disciple of His. I walk through my everyday life differently. I've been washed clean. And now, as I go through everyday life, and as I just go along, I'll mature. And I'll grow. And that's true. That's true. Especially when we find ourselves with ropes attached to a whole bunch of different people bouncing off of yesterday, and they're growing, and God's changing them. We kind of get helped and pulled along, and that's the beauty of it. But God doesn't only want us to be the one hanging on to the rope and everyone's pulling us along. We need to be able, from the inner burden and life of our heart and life, to be able to say, yeah, brother, let's go. Keep coming. And we begin to pull and not just be pulled. Our children, we all know, they don't help out a whole lot at home when they're 1 year old with the work that needs done. That's good. That's wonderful. That's the way they're supposed to be. We're pulling, constantly pulling, helping them grow, helping them learn, helping them step by step. We spend time with them. We show them how to hold a spoon, and we show them how to take a bite, and we help them learn how to walk, and we help them learn how to, and on and on and on it goes. And it's wonderful. It's the way God made it, and He wants us the same. If we're being pulled along, if you're being pulled along, and that's all, and we're just still babies, that's okay. That's good. But I want to encourage you, there is a way and there is a place, and as you continue to grow, to begin saying, that's good, brother. I see someone going on there. He's helping pull me, but I'm beginning to put some muscle leg and pull into things also. And in the midst of this, let's remember, we start pulling the wrong way or pulling sideways, we don't become a help either. God wants us together as a brotherhood pulling. But kingdom-conscious Christians strive to constantly grow, not just float down the stream of life, but there's an inner motivation that wants them to grow. 10 approximately, we'll see how things go here. 10 points. These are far from all-inclusive. If you came and shared, you might have 10 more. So this is not an all-inclusive list. These are some suggested helps that have blessed me as I ponder. Number one, obey immediately. Obey immediately. There's a little verse in 2 Chronicles, chapter 28, that blessed me years ago. Still blesses me. Sorry, it stood out to me the first time years ago. 2 Chronicles 28 and verse 10. Nope. Sorry. Let's try 1 Chronicles. Sorry, I made a mistake there. David is passing off the scene here in 1 Chronicles chapter 28. And he knows he's passing off the scene, and he's handing the baton to someone else. Who's that someone else? Solomon. And he has some very wise words for Solomon. And we could dig into these words and get a lot out of them. But as I was reading years ago, I came across this, and he said, take heed now. For the Lord hath chosen thee, 1 Chronicles 28, verse 10, the Lord hath chosen thee to build an house for my sanctuary. Is that not our job? Yeah. We're building a house as a sanctuary for God. Or maybe God's building the house. But we're building it. We're a part of the equation. How we allow God to build it, we can hinder or help. And so here we are in the process of building a house. a temple for the Holy Spirit, for God to live and move on planet Earth. We've looked at these things. And this was his counsel. Build a house for the sanctuary. Then he said a simple little statement that I like. Be strong and what? Again, be strong and do it. Solomon, do it. Sometimes I think it's that simple. If we know there's something we need to do, be strong and do it. It's almost too simple. But it seems to me it's very profound. If you're anything like me, procrastination, hesitation, forgetfulness, all these things easily come. Do it. It's such a small thing. I do need to get at it and get it done. And, you know, I should change this in my life. Or I feel like God is speaking about something. And it's not that big and I'm kind of busy. And be strong and do it. Just do it. Probably, if you're like me, there's some things that have come up that I realize I need to change in my life. Some little itty-bitty practical ones. I've seen A, I've seen B, and I feel like I've wrestled and I feel like I have an idea or a concept of what C could be. Obey. Immediate obedience. There's a little quote that I think has a lot of truth in it. It's this. How quickly we respond to light when given determines our future spiritual depth. Did you get that? How quickly we respond to light when given. When light is shed upon our path. How quickly we respond to light when given determines our future spiritual depth. You ponder that a little bit. When God sheds a little light and says, make this change. Something's wrong in your heart. Last night, there's not quite the honor and respect that there should be. I should go and talk to my parents about this. Or I should change something in my life about that because I know my parents would prefer it this way. I know my brotherhood would say this, and there's something I be strong and do it. Just do it. Obey immediately. We're building a house and a temple for the God of the universe. And we dare not hesitate. If we see little C's, steps in our life that need to be done, let's be strong and do it. And again, I almost feel apologetic. It's simple. But it's profound. It's so easy to just put off or think it's small or what are the other things? You know what they are. And I, at times, trying to think of the last time I did this, where you want to talk to someone about something, but there's just a little hesitation. And so you go and you start chit-chatting and you keep hesitating to make the dive and actually bring up the topic you're wanting to. Challenge a little something in their life. Ask them why this happened. Or ask them, I think last night a brother was sharing with me, it took one brother a few tries before he could get the gumption to ask this father about his daughter. You know, you go and you talk and it just won't come and you leave. I didn't do it. Because inside here, there's boom, 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 boom. There's sometimes just a hesitation to just do it. And if you're anything like me, you're talking with this person and I want to bring this up and I've thought about it enough that I think I know how I'm going to ask the first question or dive, broach the subject, you know, and all of a sudden, start. Say the first word. Then you're stuck because you've started and you've got to continue. Are you any of you like me? Understand that? Be strong and do it. And obviously, this is in the context of righteousness and holiness and following Christ and building an habitation for our Father. Be strong and do it. I feel there's a key there. When there's a little something on your heart, on your mind, make sure you follow through with it. Sometimes accountability helps with that. Number two, these are not in, I did not try to put them in the proper order of power and importance. These are principles that I feel, honestly, many of them, I've shared a whole message on each one. And so I'm just pulling together a whole bunch of points and we'll just go over them briefly. Number two, striving God and me. Forgive me for another little parable. There was an African man who shared a parable one time A goat. Sorry, it took me a little bit for it to come. Went to talk to a monkey. And this goat had watched his fellow creatures, and he became discontent. Now, you all know, totally untrue, get the point that I'm sharing. This goat had become discontent. It's very common. Africans use parables like this. And he went to talk to the monkey because the monkey's very wise. Goes out through the woods, and he's looking around, and there he is, up in the tree. Mr. Monkey, I would like to become a lion. I'm tired of being a goat. Goats get eaten. Lions don't get eaten. Goats don't have a whole lot of power. Lions are powerful and scary and everyone respects them. Monkey, I would like to be a lion. How do I become a lion? Wise old monkey sits and thinks a little. He said, listen, goat, listen. If you do the things I tell you, goat's all ears now. What's monkey going to say? Goat, I want you, if you want to become a lion, you need to do what lions do. You need to eat what lions eat, and you need to say what lions say, and you should go where lions go. That a little bit. Do what lions do. Eat what lions eat. Go where lions go, and do what lions do. All right. Thank you, monkey. I'm going to be a lion. Do what lions do. With lions, they walk a certain way. So goat, he starts walking a certain way, trying to stick his little tail up there and lash it back and forth like a lion. And they say what lions say, you know, so bah, you know, he's trying to growl the best he can with his bah. So he's trying to do what lions do and say what lions say, eat what lions eat. That's right, bah, you know, and he walks along and, oh, over there's a bone. He picks up that bone and he starts gnawing on that bone. Bah! I'm a lion now because I want to do what lions do, eat what lions eat, say what lions say, and go where lions go. All right, where's my lion friend? And let's go find a lion friend. Where's a cave around here? And he goes, he's looking for a cave, and he finds one, or maybe it's not a cave. Maybe lions don't live in caves. Wherever they are, you know, and he finds one of their houses, and he creeps up, and bam, his heart starts, what's going to happen here? I'm a lion. So he baz, you know, and from deep inside of this little, of this lion's house comes a roar. And goat opens his eyes. But he wants to be a lion. Bah, monkey said. So he tries again. And then he sees a shadow creeping across the wall. And he sees a lion stick his nose out. And he turns tail and runs. He's scared of that lion. He goes back to monkey. Monkey, it didn't work. It didn't work. I tried. About got eaten. I'm still a goat. Monkey looks down. You keep doing what I told you. But this time, you need to hang a sign around your neck. And they took a little piece of bamboo or whatever it was. And then they wrote on there, I'm a lion. Put it around his neck and said, now goat, now you go and be a lion. Everybody will know now. Rah! Trying to walk right, find bones. This thing hanging around his neck. I'm a lion. And you can take the parable on and on and on. And he got scared and ran when he meets a lion. Is he a lion? How is a goat to become a lion? You're not going to give a wrong answer. It's fine. There's lots of answers. How? What's that? He can't. Can a goat become a lion? Mm-mm. Can a sinner become a saint? If he strives hard enough? If he eats right and walks right and does right? Do you see the parable there? In a sense, we can say that's impossible. So if I'm striving and striving to be holy and I'm striving to follow Jesus, it's a waste of time. A goat can't become a lion. That's the beauty of the New Testament. With the power of Christ infused in Mr. Goat and God making him born again as a lion. Now Mr. Lion needs to go where lions go. Eat what lions eat. Do what lions do and say what lions say. And as little Mr. Lion that was born again begins to strive to be like his father, he'll grow. So I use that little parable just to paint to us of our own strength and our own work. It doesn't work. But if we're born again, we're walking in the light, we need to strive. Strive. Eat. Walk. Do. Say. What lions eat, walk, and do, and say. So I use the parable just to remind us. I realize, I know of my own strength, doing something over and over, being something over, or saying something over. That doesn't make it. But that's the beauty, and we'll look at this a little bit more, of true Christianity, when the ingredient of our precious Lord and Savior Jesus Christ enters into the picture, the goat becomes a lion. Now strive. God wants us to labor. We know Philippians 2, where the Apostle Paul is saying, I press on. I press. And we know the Apostle Paul is not saying, I press so that of my own strength I'm changing it. No, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And as the power of Christ rests upon me and works in me, I press. Press, young people. Press. Energy. Time. Effort. Purposeful choices. Strive. 2 Peter says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In general, I realize God in His mercy takes us where we're at and is willing to just help us on. And we grow, and as we're going, we go down the stream of the Christian life. But I fear that we'll be surprised someday when we look back and we realize what could have been, if we'll be able to see that. Will we be able to stand at judgment and look back and see what could have been? One brother shared this. He said, those tears that God will wipe from our eyes, he thinks that's because we're looking back and we're realizing what could have been. And God will say, it's okay. Or maybe I shouldn't say it's okay. Forgiveness is there. I'm not sure the right term. Welcome, son. Thank you for tenfold. It's all right if you weep that it wasn't more. That's speculation. In the Word of God, we have strive, fight, war, press on, press toward, run, and on, and on, and on. We have these words. Use energy. Put forth effort. Can you see the beauty and the excitement that can come with kingdom-conscious Christians as they see their lives in front of them and they say, Lord, how can I take another step forward? What is C? And you ask God, here's A. You've helped me see B. What? I'm striving, Lord. What can I? And you press in. Energy. I think there's a lot of truth to the little statement. Many statements are imbalanced by themselves, and this is one of them. But there's a lot of truth in this, that you are as holy. That was hard for me to accept when I first thought of that. I thought I wanted to be more pure. I thought I wanted to be more holy. I thought... But Mickey, grace is there. And I realize it doesn't happen overnight, and that's why that statement isn't totally balanced and true. But we are. God has made all the grace we need available, and He's waiting. And if we avail ourselves of it, He's delighted. We're as holy as we want to be. Just ponder that. It's not, again, it's not a balanced statement, but I think there's a lot of truth in that. You can soon pick up, I feel, with a little time communicating with someone, you can soon pick up where they're at on the fighting scale, I call it. Where are they at? Where each of us are on the fighting scale. You know that scale that shows how much energy and effort and purpose is going in to pursuing the kingdom of heaven versus how much energy and effort and pursuing is happening with life and the stuff and the things and the whatever of life has to offer. There's a scale. Strive. Say, Lord, I want to be high up on the fighting scale. Someone who presses and who fights. Number three, ask God for an inner motivation. I don't think this one's small. I've alluded to it already with joy, selling all we have. But I want to encourage you, ask God for inner motivation. It's something that is available to the New Testament Christian. Does that mean we're always going to feel like doing what we should do? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Many, many times in life, we're called to do what's right, whether we feel like it or not. That's patient continuance. But anyway, there is something, and so I realize there's that aspect. But ask God to give you the Holy Spirit, and He loves to give it. Inner motivation and drive that makes you want to do the right thing. Do you always feel like it? No. But there's something about an inner change in a person when you meet them and you see there's a fire burning in there and they are motivated. Are they tempted with wrong? Yes. Do they waver at times and on what should be done, what should be said? Yes. And is it a constant striving and pressure? Yes. But when there's an inner changed heart and life that is infused by the Spirit of God, you want to do down in what God wants. I will give them an heart to know me. Ezekiel 36 makes it plain. I'll take from you all the things you shouldn't have, and I'll give you what you should. A new heart will I give you. A new spirit will I put within you. I'll take away the stony heart of your flesh. I'll give you a heart of flesh. I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. We have something available, I believe, as New Testament Christians, that our dear Old Testament saints, I'm not sure they all had quite the same. I honestly think some of them did. I really do. I think some of them had inner changes that happened in them and revolutionized them. Moses wasn't just an extraordinarily disciplined man. I believe he's a disciplined man. God did a work in his heart, changed him. But in general, I think there's a New Testament principle here that we dare not let slide and forget. God can change us. Ask God to change us. Number four, saturate your everyday life with practical applications. Saturate your everyday life with practical applications. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. You know this. You could quote it with me, but just let it wash over you. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth he meditate every Sunday, day and night. In His law doth he meditate every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, day and night. In His law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Because he's planted close to the rivers of water, he doesn't just meditate in the law of the Lord. He doesn't just follow the law of the Lord just and put forth energy and effort every year at Bible boot camp. Picture a tree over there. He's at Bible boot camp, planted by the water, and this tree gets green and begins flowering, and you realize, yes, this needs to happen, and I'm excited about this, and following Christ and the kingdom of heaven. And then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, let's yank that tree up after Bible boot camp, and let's stick it over here. There, tree, grow. You got some water? Grow. And so he tries to grow, but somehow the leaves start curling in, and there's a withering that takes place. Every day, day and night, let's keep our tree saying, Lord, how do I follow your law? In this little way, in that little way. Make it a purposeful thing to be a learner in everyday life. As you go through life, there are so many lessons that come flying at us. Not only tribulation, but other lessons. And if we take each of those lessons and we have the mindset of a learner in everyday life, making practical applications to little things that come at us every day, every day, every day and night, I guess we have here in Psalms. But not if it's yanked out from the water, stuck over here, and then gets shoved back by the water and then stuck over here. I've got to keep this thing alive. Stick it by the water and then, whoops, he's out here. Ooh, he's getting kind of wilty. Let's stick it back. What a mess. It's hard on that poor tree. Is there a way in everyday life you can say, how do I make this little application, this little change? How can I stick a verse in my pocket and pull it out during the day? How can I make forth effort to so-and-so that I relate to? How would Jesus, as we go back to work, and things have piled up, and there's twice as much to do, brothers, because things have piled up, you've been off, and you're going to relate to brother so-and-so, how would Jesus do that? Think about that before you go into your day and make some practical application in everyday life, everyday work. I'm going to say this to the lost man that I'm relating to. Make everyday, they seem little, tiny applications, but in everyday life. I'm going to merge this with another one here. So we probably won't come up with 10. There was a while in my prayer time when I was seeking to intercede for Zanzibar, and I began to say, God, how do I pray? I want to learn to pray, Lord, and intercede. And so I have names that I'm praying for and thinking about. And as I thought and prayed, this little blessing came to me. I began to intercede in almost a three-step pattern. Number one, I prayed generally. Pray for the person. They need you, Lord. What comes to my mind when I think about this person or this situation or this circumstance and I'm wanting to intercede? Pray generally. What comes to my mind and what's on my mind? Then pray, and then number two, pray specifically. All right, Lord, what I really want to see happen in this person is they're going to start their day tomorrow. They're going to do this and this. And you start praying specifically. They're going to go through their day. Would you help this issue to come up before them as they're, and again, you know the situations and get more specific. But then number three, I would ask God, God, what can I do to help the situation? Practically, hands on, dirt, grease, mud. What can I do, Lord? And sometimes it was simple as just make a phone call and mention this to him. Send him a text that says this. Find a little booklet that came to my mind and ask him, would you like to read this? Maybe ask him how something this and this happened, or sometimes maybe seemingly unrelated to the situation. I was amazed at how many times something would come to my mind as I took them in my everyday life to touch his, her, the situation's everyday life. I was amazed as I felt like it's easy to pray and we pray, God, do this work in them. And we, you know, but pray generally, sure. Pray specifically. Lord, what specifically can I do? And this was just a concept of intercession I think goes into all of life. And then number three, what can I practically do to help this person, this situation? It might be really, really tiny. Point number one, be strong and do it, even if it's tiny. I found that a blessing. Everyday life applications. Lord, in this little tiny situation, help me to make everyday life applications. Number five. This is more of a principle. I think you know this. We know this principle. The law of the heart. I've heard the statement here a few times, I think this weekend, that sometimes we hear people say, well, it's not really in my heart. It's not really, that's not who I really am. But there's a law of the heart, just like Brother Leonard was sharing with us about the law of gravity. He can't stand on the top of a big, tall ladder and decide, I'm going to walk straight across level to the back of the room and back and then down the ladder. It doesn't work because we have the law of gravity. Laws work. A plus B equals C. So God has made laws. There's a law of our heart. Okay? There's a law that tells us and shows us what and where our heart is. Again, you know these verses also. Matthew 6, verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. And this is what I want. For where your heart is, there will your treasure be also. Did I make a mistake? What did I say? Where your heart is, I said, the Bible doesn't say this, where your heart is, there will your treasure be. The tendency of people is to say, well, my heart's not really in that. You know, my heart's somewhere else. God says, where your treasure is, where you put time and energy, what you think about, what you do, affects. So here we have actions affecting the heart. You can't just do something and say, my heart's not in it. One time, there's some places you can get away with things. I understand, because what will happen, that means the other times you must be doing a whole bunch different. But Jesus says, where your treasure is, where you put energy, where you put effort, where you put thought, what is treasure to us? Money, time, mind time, all these things, right? This is treasure. This is what's valuable to us. And where we put all those things, those actions, time, money, God says, that's where your heart will be. And he also says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So out of the heart, we have actions. And so here we have this cycle that happens in our lives that goes round and round and round, and it's beautiful. It's fertilizer. It's growth. Or it's a killer. If we hop into this cycle with wrong actions and wrong thoughts, worldly actions, worldly thoughts, thoughts of this world, thoughts of stuff, thoughts of how to do this right and how to, you know, for my benefit and for my reputation and for my whatever, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. And we're pumping energy into that. What happens is it gives us a bad heart. And when you have a bad heart, then you have more bad actions. And a bad heart makes more bad actions, and bad actions make more bad heart, and around and around and around the cycle we go. It's a mess. It's a law of our heart. Oh, we can't touch my heart. You can't see my heart. I can't see your heart. You know, it's this fuzzy, duzzy thing that's all hidden. And it's not. I actually thought I maybe wanted to get that poem someone posted in your in the men's restroom over there. You tell on yourself. Most of you read that? I didn't get it. I forgot. So you have to go in there and read it. You tell on yourself by the things you do. You tell on yourself by the places you go. That's Bible. That's biblical. There are, in a sense, I wish you could picture two of these circles. The one goes down. It kills. The other one, if I draw another, goes up. As we go through life, we're throwing actions into one of these cycles. When you do something, you're starting a spin. It's exciting if you throw it in the right. Monday morning comes along. Issues, people, relationships, stuff, things, time. Which cycle are you going to throw things into? Do you see this? If you want to grow, throw them in the right cycle. If you want to stagnate and you want to die, throw them in this cycle. See that principle? It's exciting. It's fulfilling. Next. That was the law of the heart. Number six? Number six, followship. I don't think it is. I'm making it. Followship. Open your Bibles to Proverbs. Turn to Proverbs 10. I think this one is huge. We don't realize how big this one is until life plays itself out some decades. Proverbs 10, chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 10. I made a mistake. I'm hopeful. That actually kind of... I think it is. 4. It's supposed to be 4. 4 through 13, possibly. It's not... Okay, again, sorry. This was a whole message. And I thought I grabbed just a couple of verses here that would get my heart going. Chapter 4, And so I went through many, many verses here. Take fast hold of instruction. You know what? I have it back here. Can you all be patient? I'm very sorry. I actually printed out most of this actual sermon. I feel like it's a very, very, very important one that is forgotten. Okay, I'm not finding it. Okay, you figure it out. It has the word instruction, and it has the word, I'm sorry, I forget. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. This is the idea. Here, we have two people. And we have one who's ahead of the other. And we have instruction coming from this one down to this one. And then the word here I'm making a word, followship. Did you know that it's biblical to follow man? Do you know that? It's not heresy. Imbalance, it becomes heresy. But in the right place, it's biblical, and in fact, it's a command to follow man. And I'm making a strong statement because I want you to think. The statement by itself may not be balanced, but hopefully you know me enough and you know who we are enough. It's true. Go to Hebrews chapter 6. I titled this, and I shared this a few years ago, Instruction and Followership, the Forgotten Path to Wisdom. The tendency in our day and age, and I don't know if you've noticed or not, and I may tack this on at the end. Actually, I may not with the way time's going. The tendency is, when we think of growth, we think, all right, take your Bible, go get alone with God, and spend time with God. And I don't want to diminish that. I almost feel badly saying it. I almost said it as if I don't believe it. I believe it strongly. Get alone with God. Become quiet enough, long enough, to be still enough to hear God. Okay? But fellowship. Following men. What did I say? Hebrews 6, 11 and 12. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothfuls, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Follow men! I know this might seem dangerous, and it is dangerous, and maybe some of you react a little bit. You've seen the wrong application of this principle. But especially us young people, watch those men. Flip to Hebrews 13:7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Look at their conversation. And you see the fruits of their life. And say, all right, how did you get there? What did you do? How did you act? What did you say? What did you study? How did you communicate? And follow them. Brother Leonard mentioned that a bit last evening. I just thought, amen. Follow their faith. But it says, follow them. Fellowship. I have a list of a whole bunch of scriptures. And you go search them out and look them up. I beseech you, be ye followers of me. And we like to harp on, as I am of Christ. And we need to. That needs to be there. But follow him. Look the way he lives life, and the way he goes, and the what he drives, and where he works, and how he works, and why he does what he does, and what he wears, and how he talks, and how he communicates, and how he relates, and how he uses his time, and do it like that. Do it like that, when there's beautiful fruit flowing from his life. And remember, be careful with this thing. Make it decade type fruit. We've seen fast, flashing, moving, changing fruit. Make it decade kind of fruit. You know, you see someone and there's fruit. Follow them. As you have seen in me, do. That in me first, Jesus Christ might show forth a pattern. You know, what are patterns for? You lay it down, draw around it, and cut it out just like the pattern. Men are to be patterns. Ye became followers of us, that ye might be ensamples. Do you see that? You became followers of us. He's writing to the Thessalonians. followers of us, that you also could be an example. And we all know, if you make a pattern, and then you use that one to make another pattern, you use that one to make another pattern, we're bound to have some faults. We look at that, and we say that. And so we say, well, let's follow Jesus. And we must follow Jesus. We must keep our eyes on Jesus. But Jesus is giving us live, practical examples that aren't patterns that don't change but get worse and worse. They're patterns that are alive. So they cut out just a little bit different, and you're going after that one. It's a little bit different. But praise God, it's not a dead pattern that stays the same. It's alive. It can continue to get more like Jesus. So that pattern illustration is true. Let's be careful. We want to go back to the source, we say. But let's remember also, he says men are to be patterns, and they're live, changing, growing, conforming patterns. Follow them. Mark the perfect man and watch him. Be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherited the promises. Follow them, being in samples to the flock. Your zeal as a church hath provoked very many. Others were seeing the zeal of the church, and they followed the church. We have examples from looking at the word from history. Follow history. Follow leadership. Follow elders. Follow profitable, prospering churches. Follow. And then there's even some for us that sometimes doesn't make sense, young men, so that people can follow you. Sometimes it doesn't make sense. Sure, elders, churches, but even us, we're supposed to be examples. Okay, that's enough on fellowship. You just ponder that. There's supposed to be a following that's happening among the people of God. There's supposed to be instruction and example coming from other people, and then there are supposed to be coming from us a fellowship. Follow them. Follow them. Mark them in. God's given you elder. And when you see that faith resulting in beautiful fruit, follow it. And go push your way in and sit down and ask them, how do you do this? Why do you do that? I want to understand. What's going on? Help me. I'm very thankful for this principle here. Fellowship has, I think, is one of the key reasons I'm not a mess. Because we need to submit. I've needed to submit. I've needed to bow my heart. And I haven't. The key reasons I can actually stand here and be with you all and be a part of you all. Otherwise, I'd be way off in left field. Or right field, or in the pits, wherever I'd be. It's key! Let's not forget it. Fellowship. Number 7. Renew your mind. There's something key if you want to grow. How to grow, how to be a kingdom conscious Christian that's striving to constantly grow. Renew your mind, and you look it up in the Word of God and study it. Romans 12, 2, Psalm 51, Ephesians 2 and 4, and 1 Peter 1, and Romans 8 and Luke 10. There's a few scriptures. A tremendous amount of the beginning of something begins here. Sin, you studied a little bit. A lot of times it'll begin inside before it comes outside. And God has a remedy when He talks about renewing your mind. Just meditate on this one with me a little bit. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. My mind went blank. Someone help me. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by... There's a transforming. There's a growth that happens when we put forth effort to guide this upstairs head. Real practically. I remember driving down the road as a young man with my family, and we traveled a lot, a good bit. In those days, we lived in Idaho, and we traveled back and forth to back east here. I remember taking my Bible out, and there are times when we're talking, but I think it was more of a quiet time, and I laid it beside me or on my knee or whatever it was, and we're just traveling. I look down. I can't actually read while we're traveling. I get car sick, but I can renew my mind. And I glance down, read a verse, ponder it, meditate on it, pray it, And there might be some chatter that goes on, talk about it. You get a little gap of time, you glance down, you grab it. Lord, what's that mean to me? How do I relate like that? How do I live like that? Taking my mind and saying and lifting it to what is right, what is good, what is pure on a consistent, daily, constant basis. I think it's one way that we need to do to grow. And number nine, I don't think I'll make a lot of comment on this. Or is this number eight? I'm sorry, I changed things here a little bit. Closet time. Use closet time. When ye pray, enter into your closet. Have time where you earnestly meditate. Pray, give God enough time, become quiet enough, long enough, and put some eternal glasses back on if we want to grow. How do we grow? Kingdom conscious Christians constantly strive to grow. Can you remember this little illustration I painted over here also of A, B, and C and put effort into it? Strive using that. All right, Lord, you convicted me. I'm not where I should be in whatever area it is. What can I do? What little steps can I take? Little things matter. Okay? Little things matter. Because little things usually influence big things. And big things affect destinies. God bless you all. Thank you for letting us come. We appreciate and love you all. We are actually headed out. We have some meetings at home. There's some people coming from Harmony up to bless us as a little church there in Vermont this Sunday. So till we get home, we'll actually have company in our house, because we'd rather not. We'd love to finish out properly here with you all. God bless you all. God be with you all. Stay faithful. And we're going to try to do the same. Be faithful. Grow. Walk with Him. And seek to make a thing that you sin. It's hard these days, I think. I think that the enemy is making it very hard. We tend to center them around our busyness, what we have to do, our dreams, our visions. I guess if our dreams and our visions are right, that's good. But let's center them around what will really last our heads. Father, thank you so much for your dear people in Liberty, Kentucky. Would you bless them? Please, Father, thank you for them. Thank you for the grace that I see on their lives. I know, Lord, that's what we are, needy people. But Lord, I also see some grace on their lives. Thank you for these brothers and sisters, old and young alike. It's encouraging to help us be faithful when we see faithful people. So Lord, would you help them be faithful and walk on and grow and be kingdom conscious Christians, conscious of your kingdom and how things affect. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. May thy kingdom, thy will be done, just as, oh Father.